The text for our sermon this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. First, can I just point out how ironic it is that we're all here and spread out and socially distanced, and the Apostle Paul tells us that we should greet one another with a holy kiss? Please do not kiss anyone during our service today. Or while you're in the building. And I think I would probably say this even if it were normal circumstances, but of course it isn't. I hope that you're not feeling too down today, that when you compare how you envisioned Confirmation Sunday going compared to how it is actually going, that it's not something that's dragging you down. Instead, I hope you can focus on how much joy this day brings. Because Confirmation Sunday is special. It's a day that is just for you. We set it aside. I hope that you can realize, even though this looks a little bit different, out of the ordinary, unlike any Confirmation Sunday we've probably ever have or will ever have again, that this is still a day that God is going to greatly bless you on. Please remember that. But there's more. Confirmation Sunday is also one of those days when you get a sermon that is just for you. Most of the time, pastors look at the text they're going to be preaching on, and they study it really hard, and then they try to apply it to as many people as they possibly can in their congregation. But with this sermon, when I wrote it, I thought about you, and I prayed about you, our 8 confirmants. This sermon is for you. Even though I know everyone else here is going to hear it, and I know people online are going to hear it as well, but really, I was thinking about you when I wrote it. And there's even more than that. Today is also the day we celebrate the Festival of the Holy Trinity, which, if I'm honest, is one of my favorite days of the entire year. Maybe you've noticed that as we go through the entire year, we like to set aside special Sundays when we talk about the most important things that the Bible teaches us. That's why we have one Sunday set aside for celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we celebrate the day our Lord was born on Christmas. It's why we celebrated Pentecost, because that was the day the Holy Spirit came to the church, and so on. So today, we also set aside to talk about the Holy Trinity, the day when God, or the fact that God has revealed to us that He is 3 persons in 1 God. This is just foundational for our faith. And so because of all of that, because it's Confirmation Sunday and it's Trinity Sunday and we have a section from 2 Corinthians to talk about and so on, there is so much stuff here. And even if I preached 10 sermons today, and I won't, don't worry, I don't think I could cover all of it. But here are the things to remember. Be one with each other and be one with 3-in-1. Those are the things I want you to remember, not just for today, the day you're being confirmed, but for the rest of your life. During the last 2 weeks, I sat down with each of you and went through your examination. Because at the beginning of the year, I gave you a booklet that had 137 questions in it. And all of you came well prepared. I could tell that you had put the time and the effort in, that you had studied, that you knew the answers to these important questions. And there were 137 of them. But not all of them were difficult. Maybe you remember this. Do you know why I asked you some questions that were probably at like a kindergarten level? It's not because I think you have kindergarten level intelligence, obviously. It's because in some cases, I want to hear what you believe. And then we can take what you believe and compare it to what the church teaches and see if they agree. And if they're the same, then they're the same. They match up. You believe exactly what your congregation teaches. Because that's a big part of Confirmation Sunday, is talking about what you believe, about agreements, confession of faith, fellowship. These are big ideas. And especially in a day like ours, in times like ours, when not a lot of people are agreeing about a lot of things. Even among Christians, not everyone agrees that what the Bible says is important, or the things that God says in His Word are important. One of the questions you answered during your examination was number 87. There are many different visible churches and denominations. How do you know which of these churches we should belong to? And you all answered that question correctly. It's by comparing what the Bible says to what the church teaches. And they should be the same thing. That's why for 3 years now you've been studying what the Bible teaches. So you can do just that. You can compare what a church or a Christian teaches to what the Bible says. But again, not all Christians believe that's all that important. In our lesson for today, the Apostle Paul says, be of one mind. Think the same things. That when it comes to what the Bible says and what you believe about God, it should be like you all have the exact same brain. And as I was getting ready for this sermon, like I often do, I wanted to read what some other Christians had to say about these words, because they seemed pretty straightforward. But quite often I read things like this. This does not mean that they will agree on everything, but just that they must live in harmony with each other. And if that sounds different than what God's Word says here, you're right. Because that same person also wrote, Paul expresses his desire for the Corinthian believers to be united. And there's a disconnect here. These two ideas don't match up, and if it seems like that to you, it should. They are saying something different than what the Bible does. Should you be united? Yes. And so I'm going to encourage you to ask that question that you asked many times throughout your confirmation years. What does this mean? Can you be united if there is disagreement about what you actually believe or about what God teaches? No. It's not unity. That's not oneness. That's just pretending. Like, imagine if you were on a soccer team, and before a game, the coach sits down and he explains the strategy to the rest of the team so that everyone knows exactly what they're supposed to do. That when you go out on the field, everyone knows exactly what position they're supposed to play and what their job is. But imagine there's one person who really wants to be on the team, but they don't want to follow the strategy. So they just do whatever they want during the game. Does that sound like it's going to work? Of course not. That's kind of what we're talking about here. Imagine if someone wants to be a part of the congregation, but they don't even care about what God says in the first place. They don't agree about what God says in the first place. Do they really belong to that congregation? Should they really be a part of it? Paul says, be of one mind. Be united to one another. That is why you have been learning so much for the last 3 years. And even on top of that, you guys are going to be entering into a time of life when all of the things that you have been learning are going to be challenged. You know that there are people in this congregation who were confirmed here and who never came back. You know that there are people who were confirmed in this congregation and then fell away from the faith. That there are people who were confirmed in this congregation and then they heard the things that the world says and they loved it more than what God says. The world is a crazy place. And I'll bet you get that sense. This is not a world where people are unified, where people are one, where they think the same thing, where they have one mind. I said, this is a world where you gotta stand up for yourself, where you gotta figure out what you believe, and you gotta do it all alone. That's what this world is like. But God's church is not like that. This congregation is not like that. The family of believers that you have been called into is not like that at all. Even when the world around you comes together around some idea or whatnot, they still don't agree on everything. And that agreement, that unity, doesn't last for very long. They can never say that they are fully united. But in God's church, we can. That's why the Apostle Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." And today you get to confess that you agree with every single thing that your congregation teaches. It's why you've been learning about it for the last 3 years. And that should make you rejoice. It should make the congregation rejoice. And I know it does. This last week, more than one person contacted me wanting to know your names so that they can pray about you and support you. That's amazing. Your congregation is excited for you to be here. They are willing to support you and encourage you, and that should be good, not only for you, but for them also. It's in this way, then, that you can actually truly live in peace. That's not something that the world can give you. You can't have full agreement in the world. But here, you do. And if the first thing you should remember is to be one with each other, then the second thing is to make sure that you are one with the three in one. That's the whole reason that we Christians can be united in the first place. It's not because of us. It's because of who our God is. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. It's because our God is gracious that he has called us to faith in him, that we know his undeserved love. It's because we know God, who is love, that we can love each other. And it's because the three in one are united in fellowship that you and I can be united in fellowship. One of the questions you answered during your examination was number 42. What is a Bible passage that teaches us that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And you all gave great answers. Some of you talked about Jesus' baptism. Some of you quoted the Great Commission that we heard about in our gospel for today. But this passage here is excellent. And it does the same thing. It teaches us about each person of the Trinity. It defines who they are, describes them for us. Another question you had to answer was number 97. When and how will God answer our prayers? And you guys answered those ones right also, that question right also. The answer is whenever and however God wants. But when and how isn't necessarily something that you know. But this prayer, asking that God would be with you, that the triune God would bless you, that is a prayer that God hears and answers yes, and he answers it immediately. Because the triune God wants to be one with you. When your pastor blesses you at the end of the congregation, or at the end of the worship service, like we're going to have today, that is a prayer that God hears, and he says, yes, I want to be with them. I will be one with them. The Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, the three persons in one God, they are with you, and they have united themselves to you. And the congregation in Corinth, the one to whom Paul was writing this letter, there were just a ton of problems. They were not all one. They were not all united to God. There was a lot of strife, a lot of fighting, a lot of challenging of each other. Not everyone got along. There were so many divisions. And so the Apostle Paul, he writes them a couple of letters, maybe three or four, depending on how you count. And we only have two of them. We have 1 and 2 Corinthians. And this is the very end of his last letter to them. Here at the end, he wants them to focus on unity, to come back together. And how does he want them to express that, to show that they are one? He wants them to do it with a holy kiss. Now again, I want to reiterate, please do not kiss anyone during this worship service. But at the same time, I want you to realize just how revolutionary and controversial this thing was. Because in Corinth, you didn't kiss one another. In some cultures today, it's pretty common that you would come and when you see someone, you greet them and you give them a kiss on each cheek. That's pretty common. It's kind of the equivalent to our handshake, which we might never do ever again. But nevertheless, that's not how it was in Corinth. In Israel, it was pretty common to kiss one another, but Corinth is in Greece. And in Greece, you only kissed family members. So when the Apostle Paul says, "Greet one another with a holy kiss," God was telling them that they should realize and treat one another as the spiritual family that they are. They should act like they are. They should greet one another just like how they would greet a family member that they haven't seen for a while. Now, I'm not recommending that we kiss one another, but I do want you to realize that you are united together into God's family. You are. God has brought you into the church, and today you will confess that you believe. And on top of that, he has made you valuable members in this, his family. These are the things you should remember. You are one with each other, and you are one with the three in one. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.